This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I like the fact that baseball's there with me every night. Baseball's the soundtrack of summer when football is not playing games. We've just wrapped up hoops and hockey. I find it comforting that baseball's always there through the summer nights. I enjoy the fact that it takes the scenic route. Baseball's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Anything can and will happen.
All rise. Here comes the judge. Oh, what a home run.
This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Deep to left center. Way back. Up, up and away.
Not one, not two, not three, but four home runs tonight for Scooter Gennett.
Baseball gives me a chance to lower my heart rate, sit, put your feet up, enjoy.
Put me in cold.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah, I can be. So put me in cold. I'm ready to play today.
I've been thinking about it.
Put me in cold.
If there were an Olympic Games for normal people, quote unquote, and yes, I'm being cheeky here. I don't know what normal is. There's no such thing as normal in our world anymore, which is good. We don't all need to be the same. But if there were an Olympics for normal, everyday tasks, mundane responsibilities, or something that you do well in the course of your daily life that you know you would crush if it were the Olympics, I feel like that's a good topic. For instance, I had to drive a pickup truck into New York City for the first time last night. I think driving in New York City could be an Olympic sport. For people who've never done it, it doesn't matter how many miles you've driven outside of a metro like this one. And just to even project that farther, I have never driven in other countries like, say, Ecuador or Cuba, but when I ride along with other people in those areas, so Havana or parts of Ecuador and Quito, I'm scared to death, even though I've spent over 10 years driving in New York City. But there are different rules for different parts of the world. So I think if you've never driven in New York and you don't understand how many lights and buildings and signs and people and lanes and vehicles, and it's just a lot. You're bombarded constantly. It's not so much the times when it's bumper-to-bumper traffic and you can't really move. It's really about the times where, sure, there's traffic, but there's just so much happening that you can get A, lost, and two, confused. Oh, A and two. A, lost, B, confused, three, flustered very quickly. And so I often tell people, I feel like a boss because I can navigate New York City traffic without ever getting flustered.
Parking itself could be an Olympic sport.
It definitely could, especially parallel parking. I feel like, especially with the pickup truck that I had to drive in last night. So for those of you who missed it or didn't see it online, Princess Leia had a blowout, a pretty dramatic blowout on Friday morning on my way home from work. It was loud enough that I thought someone had crashed behind me. That's how loud this blowout. And the tire was crazy. It split right down the middle between two pieces of tread. It was crazy. And the rest of the tire wasn't wearing that way. So something's off with Princess Leia, which is okay because she's got 168,000 miles and nearly 9 years in. So I couldn't get tires on Friday with the guy that normally takes care of her. So I had to wait until today, which meant not having a vehicle over the weekend. And last night driving my husband's Texas country pickup truck. Well, it's not like that. It's a nice truck. It's just that it's big and I'm much higher. And also it's a much longer vehicle. So as Nick points out, I was a little bit nervous about parking. Thankfully, I found right outside our building two spots that were open, so I was just able to pull right in and not have to worry about the parallel parking. It's just big. And in places like, well, the West Side Highway, for those of you who don't know New York, runs along the Hudson River. It's tight. There are six lanes, so three in each direction, but no shoulder. And the lanes are narrow and thin, and people fly by me going, oh gosh, easily 70 miles per hour in what is a 50 mile per hour stretch. And it's a little bit scary because there's no place to go. When I've come across accidents right in front of me and you cannot swerve around them, you have to slam on your brakes. It's dark. There aren't a lot of lights. It floods easily. So it's a pretty scary stretch of road. And yeah, so here I am in this big old pickup truck and getting nervous because I feel like I take up the entire lane as opposed to my smallest SUV that leaves plenty of room on both sides and is much more maneuverable. You know, I'm like a badass with my little SUV. I can do all kinds of crazy stuff and maybe now and then break traffic laws, but not with this ginormous pickup truck. Anyway, I was a little bit nervous about driving it, but it's fine. I made it. I was good. I only honked at people twice because I felt like they were coming into my lane. Watch out! I'm in this big old truck. Someone on X said I should have had my cowboy hat. Well, I didn't have my boots or my hat on, but I did have the pickup truck. First time ever driving a truck into New York. No, thank you. I'm good. Felt very limited. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, we'll do that maybe tomorrow night show. Actually, I should say tonight show, Monday night into Tuesday morning. This Olympic sport that you would crush if it came out of your daily life. So Olympic sports for those of us who don't win gold medals or go to Paris. It's After Hours on our Facebook page, also on Twix, A-Law Radio. Glad to have you with us. It was a weekend full of really amazing moments at the games in Paris. And I love the fact that on the weekends, a lot of us here in the United States can watch these events live. So for instance, being able to see the heats for the men's 100 meters on Sunday earlier in the day and knowing that American Noah Lyles did not even win his own heat. He actually lost to, I think he might have been a teenager, a brand new Jamaican sprinter who's just coming onto the scene, who did make it into the final. Younger than Noah, really not a lot of people who know much about him. And he beat Noah in their heat. So a lot of pressure. The fastest men in the world who are healthy right now in this 100 meters. And we got to watch it play out live. And I said this, actually did a sports minute about this, how much it blows me away that there's so much buildup and hype, not to mention the training and the world championships and the Olympic trials and all that jazz. Then there's heat and you get down to the point where it's just a handful of dudes who are going to run this race and all of the introductions and the personality and the talk about world records or fastest human on the planet. And then the gun goes off and it's over in under 10 seconds. Although on Sunday it was 10 seconds and then time for the replay. So I think the replay review maybe took us 60 seconds before. Well, maybe not that long, but it was definitely three times as long as the actual race itself.
Let's look again at how close this was on the line. It's the torso that gets you the win. And right there, you can see a little bit of daylight between Kishane Thompson of Jamaica's torso and the line. Noah just outleaned him. So they both are credited with 9.79. But there's 5 thousandths in between them. And that's the difference between gold and silver tonight. Look at where Noah Lyles had to come from. We know he's a finisher. Thompson got away. Curly was there. But momentum, better momentum at the end. And Noah Lyles is the Olympic champion.
America! I told you! I got this!
America! I told you! I got this. But it was such a delayed reaction for everyone in the stadium because they come across the line. It appears as though Keyshawn Thompson, from Jamaica has crossed the line first, and he led for a good portion of the race. He had another American on his left, Curly, and what we know about Noah is that he, I don't want to say he starts slow because nothing about these dudes is slow, but he closes fast. He's one of the best closers in the world. And as he closes and he catches up to Thompson, he leans. How often do you see people leaning? Sometimes I liken that to when, and it's a much slower speed, much slower pace, but when guys who are trying to run to first base make the effort to slide or to dive, and it slows you down as you're running. And there's always this debate about how if you had just ran it out, you might have beaten the throw, but guys choose to try to slide. And so it takes away from their momentum as they're running. And I feel that way too sometimes about people who lean over, because it takes a little bit of your, you have to time it perfectly so that you're leaning over finish line, because otherwise it takes away from your momentum and all the airflow and everything else. This all factors in when you're talking about 5/1000ths of a second. That's the margin for gold for Noah Lyles. And yeah, he'd been talking a big, bold, and brash game for a couple of years now about how he was going to win this gold medal. He'd won a bronze in Tokyo, but this is his first gold. And it's not even his best event. Actually, the 200 meters is his best event, and he still has that. But yeah, he's received some advice from Usain Bolt about being himself and having a big personality and a lot of charisma, and that's what the sport needs. But it had mostly kind of bounced around in a vacuum for a couple of years.
Done a lot of work throughout the last 3 years since 2021, and even in 2021 I took on a lot of sponsors to try and get my name out there, and unfortunately it didn't work out for me. And I've seen tons of scenarios where athletes come in as a favorite and it doesn't work out for them, and I didn't want to take advantage of that. And knowing that that could happen, you know, continues to fuel me, and that's just, you know, constantly going, that's extra step, knowing that at any time, you know, somebody can pop up. I mean, we started the season and a lot of people were saying, oh, it's going to be a slow year in the 100. Well, it wasn't no slow year in the 100.
He does have a great personality, even to the point where I've seen some press conferences at, Team USA, the Olympic trials, that kind of stuff, where other guys are talking about winning an event. And I mean, he'll make a sarcastic comment about how everybody says that until they lose. So yeah, he's not necessarily making friends everywhere he goes, but the sport definitely can benefit from his personality. And I think the United States is just a part of that because, and I said this earlier, if you ask 100 people on the street, not this week, obviously, because he's trending, but if you ask 100 people on the street during a non-Olympic year, how many winners of the 100 meters they can name, or how many fastest men in the world they can name, or do you know who's won the 100 meters, or, you know, this dash, the last couple Olympics? Most people could name Usain Bolt because he's really the gold standard. Yes, pun intended. And because he had such a flair for the dramatic, and because he was so entrenched for so many years. Depending upon your age, I grew up and just loved watching Carl Lewis. When I was a kid, I remember him winning, the 88 Olympics, I think. I remember him really just being so full of, well, not the same stuff that he brought to the national anthem stage, but so full of life and energy. And I enjoyed watching him not just run, but also in the long jump. I don't know how many Americans could even name him now. I guess it depends, again, on your age. But most people would tell you it's Usain Bolt, who's not American. And this is the first time that an American has won the 100 meters in 20 years. Again, you ask 100 people on the street, the last American to win it 20 years ago, and I bet you very few can name the guy who won it 20 years ago. So the sport has been missing a personality like this since Bolt retired. Or, I mean, he actually you'll see him every now and then, whether it's a commercial or around the sport of track and field. So personal best, 9.784 for Noah Lyles, and a photo finish, which was awesome. And yeah, like everybody else, he had to wait to find out that his name was on top of the leaderboard. So that was pretty cool. Emotional when he got with his mom and his sister, and I think it was a niece and his girlfriend. Just the tears, and his mom over and over, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you." So I was in tears then. And if you haven't seen his tweet that was out there, it was sometime after he raced. I'm not exactly sure how long, but it's been shared a bunch. "I have asthma, allergies, dyslexia, ADD, anxiety, and depression. But I will tell you that what you have does not define what you can become. Why not you?" Exclamation point. Yeah, pretty incredible to think about his adversity and what he's faced in getting to this point where he's an Olympic champion. We've talked about Simone Biles, Suni Lee, what they faced to get to the point where they are champions. And as much as their stories are unique to them, that story is not unique. The fact that these Olympians have so many years in between games, and while there are other U.S. championships, world championships, competitions around the country and around the globe, it's not the same stage as the Olympics. And to see them gear up for this opportunity every 4 years and know it comes around so sparingly, so fleeting, these opportunities, and watching them perform in that moment is phenomenal. And there are so many good examples of it. A little bit different when it's pro athletes like Novak Djokovic and Scottie Scheffler, who have made millions and millions of dollars on the pro circuits of their respective sports and are two of the best. Well, Novak's the best ever in men's tennis, but Scottie Scheffler, relatively early in his career, number one player in the world. And when he gets locked in like he did in the final round on Sunday, there's nobody who can beat him because he's so consistent with both his irons as well as with the putting. His putting really gives him an edge. So those two guys have more money than they will ever need. They've got families now. Scottie's a first-time dad. Novak had his three kids with him in Paris. They can travel. They can see the world. They've got everything except for Olympic gold. And to see them reduced to puddles over winning a gold medal, and in the case of Novak, five Olympics before he was able to capture the gold medal. And so to hear them talk about it, to see the emotion come out of them, I really appreciate. But those are different, right? A lot of the Olympians, they don't have the same name recognition. They're not household names outside of, say, a Simone Biles and a Suni Lee. The gymnasts, the female gymnasts generally get afforded more attention for obvious reasons. And Simone is just she's unique in so many ways. But pretty awesome to hear their stories and to know about their redemption and the plan, everything coming to fruition. Love it, of course, when there are world records. So it's been awesome weekend, really an awesome first, 9 days or so with the Olympics, and we still have a week to go. And love to hear from you if you've got some moments that are standing out. Online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Sean is in Maine and wants to weigh in. Hi, Sean.
Well, hello. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
How are you? I hope everything's well. The last time we talked, which was about 6 weeks ago, we talked about the passing of your grandmother. I truly hope that the healing from you and your family is going well with that. So anyway, let's restore order to your conversations with your callers. So Simone Biles, my beautiful wife of 20 years, we just had our anniversary, told me that she bought a goat necklace. I don't know how true. She's in the know. So I'm.
Wait, your wife did or Simone did?
No, that my wife told me that Simone Biles bought a goat necklace because we were talking about arrogant athletes, and I was telling her that that's what you have to be the best. You know?
Well, I dare say it probably wasn't bought for her. Someone probably gave it to her. But either way, yeah. It was. She only put it on after They won the, well, after they did the individual all around and she had won another gold medal and gotten back on top, she's doing what no other gymnast has ever done before. So I have no doubt that she's justified in wearing it. But also what she said after the fact is that she actually thought it was kind of fun as a conversation starter because some people would love it and some people would hate it. And that's okay. She doesn't mind varying opinions.
Well, I personally think it's awesome because she's the GOAT. Second thing is men's basketball. Your caller from Canada, I don't know. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. The matchups aren't right. We're deeper. They're a problem, though. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm. They're talented.
And then I want to give a shout-out to my Bears. Big weekend for them. Also, the last thing is me and my friend had a debate. Who's the next big face of the NBA? I say it's Edwards. I just think he's got it. I watch him play. I played college ball myself. He can do pretty much everything. His defense has to get better. That's the only thing I see. And that's it. I mean, I want to know what you think of who the next big name in basketball. And I truly, truly hope you have a great day today.
I appreciate that, Sean. Thank you so much for calling from Maine. I honestly think that it's not like baseball where you'll have one face of the sport that comes up and dominates for a few years. There are so many incredible athletes in the NBA. Not just that, but the NBA does an awesome job of promoting its superstars, so better than almost any other sport except for the NFL.
Yep.
So it's not really like you're going to have this void where Anthony Edwards steps into. But I will say that I love what I've seen from him to the point where he was able to carry the Timberwolves even after Cat was injured for a couple of months. He's burst onto the scene because of his athleticism, because he's got great charisma. He's so open and honest. He's just unabashedly ant. He doesn't try to be someone he's not. And agreed. Older guys in the NBA are recognizing his talent. So I do think that he is a budding superstar and maybe just takes an appearance in the NBA Finals or performing. So he didn't have a great playoff. So that's one thing that is probably nagging at him. He's going to want to get better on that stage. But yeah, he's certainly one of the young guys that is the next wave, if you will. Almost like a rookie quarterback, though he's not a rookie.
Agreed. Well, again, I hope you have a great, great day. And I'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Oh, thanks.
And I own my own business, so I don't have a lot of time, but this morning I decided to call you, maybe restore order to your callers.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. Thank you for coming to my rescue.
I hope you have a great day.
People are chatty.
It sure seemed like he had a lot of time.
On this Monday morning.
He said, I don't have a lot of time. He just kept going and going.
Monday morning, August 5th. Maybe that's what it is. It's the first Monday in August. People are excited about the Olympics. I'm not really sure. I just know it's been a lot of fun for us. The show's gone really quickly. We haven't gotten to even half of some of the topics that I had on my list, which is good. It's a good problem to have, for sure. 855-212-4227 if you, too, would like to dialogue. And then
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Online.
Tell us what you're doing this morning.
Tell us what you're up to. Ask me how old I am. At A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I would say, first and foremost, I'm proud, of the country that I'm from. I'm proud to be an American. And, I got emotional the other night watching the gold medal ceremony for the women's gymnastics. You know, I take tremendous pride in coming over here and representing my country. And Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, when you go to a sporting event, you hear everybody in the stands singing the national anthem. It's a pretty special thing to be a part of, and I think that's something that we take tremendous pride in. And, you know, it was just very emotional being up there on stage there as the flag is being raised and, the you know, sitting there singing the national anthem. And, yeah, it's a definitely one I'll remember for a long time.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Scottie Scheffler. Pretty incredible that he and Novak Djokovic, who've both won majors and millions in their respective careers, each was reduced to tears over winning a gold medal in Paris on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I have to have you hear what Novak said, because the man had tried in four different Olympics before this and had never won gold. He'd had a bronze going back to 08, and it had taken him this long, even as the best player in the world, owns more Grand Slam titles than any other man ever, maybe ever will. Although, I don't know, Carlos Alcaraz is pretty darn good. But after Scheffler, well, I think Scheffler was later, but Scheffler is reduced to a puddle at the end of the national anthem. He breaks down in the last few notes and strains of the anthem in a way that you just don't hear and see from him very often. He's fairly stoic and even keel. I mean, you get a fist pump now and then after his latest, well, after becoming a dad for the first time, that was a really emotional thing for him too. And I actually saw this on Twix. I have to share it with you because it's pretty awesome. His year, you want to talk about the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, 6 PGA Tour wins. He won another green jacket at the Masters. He became a dad. He shot a 66 after going to jail in Louisville. He's earned a record $28 million in prize money. And yet that guy broke down over hearing the national anthem played and becoming an Olympic gold medalist in Paris. And then Novak Djokovic, who hits his final forehand, I think it was a forehand winner, and beats Alcaraz in a second tiebreak. So it was straight sets, but both went to tiebreak. So a very close match against the Spaniard. And here's Novak at 37 years old, has done pretty much everything you possibly can other than win a gold medal in the sport of tennis. His accomplishments may never be matched. And yet he lays on the clay there at Roland Garros, where he has laid before after winning majors. He lays there for a couple of minutes, just kind of soaking it all in. And then when he gets up, he gets into the stands, he's overcome with emotion, greeting his family. His three kids are there. His wife is there, just to soak it all in, and the emotion of him too. And he explains why he got so emotional.
I thought that 2012 opening ceremony in London, carrying the flag for my country, the opening ceremony, opening the Olympic Games, is the best feeling that an athlete could have. Until today, this kind of supersedes everything that I imagined, that hoped that I could experience and that I could feel. And the fact that I won the bronze in the first Olympic Games and ever since then failed to win the medal, and, you know, played 3 out of 4 Olympic Games in semifinals and couldn't overcome that obstacle. And then now at age 37, you know, with 21-year-old that is probably the best player in the world right now, winning Roland Garros and Wimbledon back-to-back and playing incredible tennis. Just when I take everything in consideration, this probably is the biggest sporting success I've ever had in my career.
That's Novak Djokovic. We're not talking about an athlete that no one's ever heard of. We're talking about the best. He may go down as the best men's tennis player of all time. And consider, too, that he was dealing with a knee injury. Weren't even sure he was going to compete in Wimbledon. This may go down as the greatest success, sporting success, of his lifetime. And that tells you how much it means to some of these athletes. Not all, of course, but some of them. No matter how much money they've made or even how many championships they've won. Think about Steph Curry. I mean, he's already a Hall of Famer. Same thing with Novak. Already a Hall of Famer, and yet what he wants is to win an Olympic gold medal. I mean, that's the power of competing for your country, which I think is incredible. And I love that about the games, is it puts a lot of people on the same plane. It's got one common goal, right? Or they've got one common goal, and it reduces everybody, no matter your star power, your money, your success in the past. It puts everybody on that same level playing field, which is rare and unique, and I love the quality of it. All right, let's talk to Lamar, who's in Charlotte. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, good morning. Appreciate you all being here and dealing with us Yahoos early in the morning. Everything good with you?
Yeah, everything's good. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Congratulations. I got a quick question. So my thing is about Noah Lyles. Noah Lyles, mm-hmm. I appreciate the story. I understand the origin story. I understand the backstory and all of that. Those 30 seconds that it took for them to decide who won the race.
Right.
How would he have reacted with all this boasting and bragging that he does? How would he have reacted had he lost?
It's a good question. I wondered the same thing. Yeah. In fact, I think on that particular level, yeah.
I understand who you are and what you've done, but come on, man. Be humble. Sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I got you. That's just not him, though. So at least he's authentic, right? At least he's the same, whether it's Sunday or it's Wednesday. And I had the same thought because initially it looked like Keyshawn Thompson had been able to edge him out at the wire. And actually, it's a good thing that you ask. I'll play the bite for you because he was asked, he and Thompson were standing next to each other. He was asked what he said to Keyshawn after the race. Nick, if you want to play that, it's number 5. Because I wondered, too, how he would react if, it, in fact, he ended up with silver.
After the race, I came up, we were waiting for the names to pop up, and I'm going to be honest, I came over, I was like, I think you got that one, big dog. You know, he was out there in lane 4, and I was in lane 7, and I couldn't really see what was going on over there, so I just had to keep, you know, running like I was going to win it, and, you know, something said I need to lean, and I was like, I'm going to lean, because, you know, it was that type of race, and it was crazy as my, you know, by Ralph Mann was like, before I left for the Paris, he's like, this is how close first and second is going to be away from each other, and I can't believe how right he was.
He was actually referring to a conversation that he had. I think it was one of his coaches. But yeah, I mean, he had to come to grips there with a second that he might have lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Appreciate you all. Take care.
Thanks, Lamar. Good to talk to you in Charlotte. I hope that he would have been gracious in defeat. And it sounds like he said to Thompson, and he did go over and talk to him, hey, you know, congratulations, or I think you got it, big dog. So I hope that he would have been gracious. I don't think a little personality hurts the sport. I mean, for example, Patrick Mahomes. Now, he's complimentary of other athletes, to be sure, but does he also trumpet and parade around and yell and scream and celebrate and exult? Absolutely. Maybe it's different because it's a team sport. As long as you are willing to be gracious in defeat and be as exuberant for your opponents, I think as long as you're consistent, it's a good personality and charisma for the sport, one that is definitely missing in the wake of Usain Bolt's being done. But yeah, we have lots of guys and gals too who are taunting, who are over the top with their celebrations. And I think it brings eyeballs and earballs to their sports, and it's a lot of fun. I think it's entertaining. It's supposed to be a game. Just don't act like a total turd when you lose. Make sure that you are gracious in defeat. I think that comes across as authentic and real, and people know that your emotion is not just all hot air and swagger, if you will. But he definitely does have swagger. And he's admitted that for 3 years it really didn't work. So this is what he needed to put his name on the map. And isn't that so typical of the United States, right? Isn't that so typical of sports? You can be all the hot air that you want, but until you win on the games or the event's biggest stage, people notice you more like a mosquito or a gnat. Not really give you the respect that you deserve until you can do it for all the world to see. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff with Noah Lyles, and I loved watching it play out live on Sunday afternoon. All of our cuts, by the way, the race cuts, the swimming cuts, the gymnastic cuts from the actual events, those are part of the NBC coverage. And we've got USA now up live, and they're back in the track arena and doing the early heats for all the different events that will play out this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's probably true. I think it is true. It's a little bit crazy. I don't think many other events in sports could do it, but the Olympics over the weekend, with all the excitement, the energy coming out of Paris and some of the great storylines, the Olympics did manage to dwarf the NFL this weekend. Not so much the Hall of Fame ceremony itself. That was emotional, as it always is. So neat to see Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis, Devin Hester. Oh my gosh, the Steve McMichael moment, his induction from his home. Dwight Freeney. And there are a couple of others in there as well. Randy Grandishar actually had to wait a really long time to get in. So it's a neat story, too, for the longtime Bronco. It's always... I think even more emotional for those athletes who've had to wait a long time. And I think that's human nature. If we've had to wait and suffer and keep up hope when it seems like all hope is lost for anything in our lives, it means more to us. And we don't take it for granted when it finally happens, because we know how long we waited and hoped and prayed for that moment. Randy talking about how he got the call and found out that he was getting into the Hall of Fame after so many years.
On January 26th this year, I received the news I had waited 35 years to hear. I was chosen for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Isn't that amazing? 35 years. I mean, how many times do you think over that stretch he thought, maybe my time has just passed by and it's not going to happen for me? Hope is a powerful thing. It can keep us going even when it seems like our dreams are dead and gone and buried, or maybe they're a pile of dry bones somewhere. And in the case of Randy, it's a great inspiration. 35 years to wait for that phone call. Can you imagine what that felt like in those moments when he heard that he finally had made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? So love those stories coming out of the weekend. Really didn't talk much about football. I thought we might, but the Olympics dominated. Oh, and some very chatty callers. Jaden Daniels, though, will make a start for the Commanders in the upcoming preseason opener. So he's going to get a chance to play. Oh, actually, I take that back. We don't know if he'll start yet. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but he is going to play in the preseason opener, the Commanders' rookie QB. So that announcement made by Dan Quinn. So it'll be our first chance to see him. Aaron Rodgers, he was out scrimmaging over the weekend and looked good. Robert Saleh, though, has never met one of his own quarterbacks that he didn't adore. And so I would say take everything Saleh says with a grain of salt. Wasn't that long ago he was raving about Zach Wilson. I'm trying to think who else he's raved about in the past. He tends to rave. Speaking of quarterbacks, though, in New York, Eli Manning threw out the first pitch at the Yankees game over the weekend and got interviewed on their affiliate, WFAN, which is also our New York affiliate. And just can't wait for the Mannings to be back on Monday night.
I was excited. I got a little nervous kind of when I got out here, and I asked if I could go throw a few. So I went into the little bullpen in the dugout. They were all coming a little high when I was warming up, but I didn't want to overcorrect. I could not go low. And so I know now with the new, you know, everybody trying to hit the home runs, the high heat is the new pitch no one could hit. So I was trying to go high heat, and it might have gone a little high on me.
And you zipped it in nicely.
Yeah, so it didn't one hop it. That was the ultimate goal.
You know that when President Bush threw out the first pitch to Derek Jeter said to him as he came out, "Don't bounce it.
Don't bounce
you.
It." That's all I know. I've seen that clip many times, and I knew. I saw my brother Peyton throw out the first pitch at the All Star game 2 years ago or last year, and didn't one hop it. So I could not do that. Learn from my brother's mistakes.
And you threw it from right on top of the rubber.
Yes, you did. No cheating.
You gotta get on the rubber. No doubt.
Eli Manning's got such a great sense of humor. And speaking of Hall of Fame, he is definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. Don't at me. I've had this conversation so many times. You may not like it, but he is headed for the Hall of Fame, just like his brother. So yeah, that's with, I think, Justin Shackle, it sounds like, and Susan Waldman on Yankees Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Brian's in Virginia. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hello, Amy. How you doing today?
Thanks for taking my call. You're welcome.
And just wanted to let you know, I'm a lifelong Dodger fan. And again, I'm in Richmond, Virginia. But I just want to, I'm just shaking my head at the Shohei Ohtani situation. Amy, there is no way I would think about trotting him out there on that mound next year, given he's coming off that serious elbow injury. Okay, there are enough pitchers on this earth, especially the Dodgers. We are known for having great pitchers coming out of our farm system. I would not want to risk shortening his career or risking further injury to an elbow because he's up there and there doing double duty as a pitcher. I know they, I mean, really, seriously, it's something to think about. Mm-hmm. You see how great he is, okay? Babe Ruth, I know he did it too, but he did not pitch for those Yankees. No. They didn't do that. he was both ways for the Red Sox, but when he got to the Yankees, Babe Ruth didn't pitch. So I'm
okay.
Just
well,
saying,
so here's my thing. Let me just be careful with this, Amy. Okay, hold on. I'm just going to cut in really quickly and maybe nip that in the bud. While people may agree with you, the Dodgers may even agree with you when it comes to his longevity and his durability. The problem is if they signed him. Well, first of all, they signed him to a $700 million contract. But if they signed him to a contract and he agreed to play for them because they will allow him to both pitch and hit, meaning they're not going to limit him. If that's what he wants to do, and they gave him a contract with the express purpose of allowing him to do both, and they told him he could do both, they can't very well go back on that now. So I understand what you're saying, and I honestly think he may be more productive doing one or the other in that respective skill. But if what they signed him to and what they agreed to is that he can do both, there's no changing it now.
They would really feel some kind of way if he gets out there next year and re-injures that elbow, because now, if you do that, now you can't hit either. You see what I'm saying, Amy? And I'm a local teaching tennis pro here in Richmond, Virginia.
Nice.
And I tennis elbow. I'm trying to get you guys. Well, not you, but you listeners. Y'all hear about these injuries?
Yeah,
but y'all don't understand what an elbow injury is.
You got about 10 seconds. 10 seconds, Brian.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me take care now. Thank you.
Amazing callers tonight. Probably the best callers.
Nick potted him down, meaning his voice wasn't up over the air, and was listening to him in queue in the control room, and he just talked the entire time. Yes, I understand. I got you, man. We're with you. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think it is true. It's a little bit crazy. I don't think many other events in sports could do it, but the Olympics over the weekend, with all the excitement, the energy coming out of Paris and some of the great storylines, the Olympics did manage to dwarf the NFL this weekend. Not so much the Hall of Fame ceremony itself. That was emotional, as it always is. So neat to see Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis, Devin Hester. Oh my gosh, the Steve McMichael moment, his induction from his home. Dwight Freeney. And there are a couple of others in there as well. Randy Grandishar actually had to wait a really long time to get in. So it's a neat story, too, for the longtime Bronco. It's always, I think, even more emotional for those athletes who've had to wait a long time. And I think that's human nature. If we've had to wait and suffer and keep up hope when it seems like all hope is lost for anything in our lives, it means more to us, and we don't take it for granted when it finally happens, because we know how long we waited and hoped and prayed for that moment. Randy talking about how he got the call and found out that he was getting into the Hall of Fame after so many years.
On January 26th this year, I received the news I had waited 35 years to hear. I was chosen for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Isn't that amazing? 35 years. I mean, how many times do you think over that stretch he thought, maybe my time has just passed by and it's not going to happen for me? Hope is a powerful thing. It can keep us going even when it seems like our dreams are dead and gone and buried, or maybe they're a pile of dry bones somewhere. And in the case of Randy, it's a great inspiration. 35 years to wait for that phone call. Can you imagine what that felt like in those moments when he heard that he finally had made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? So love those stories coming out of the weekend. Really didn't talk much about football. I thought we might, but the Olympics dominated. Oh, and some very chatty callers. Jaden Daniels, though, will make a start for the Commanders in the upcoming preseason opener. So he is going to get a chance to play. Oh, actually, I take that back. We don't know if he'll start yet. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but he is going to play in the preseason opener, the Commanders' rookie QB. So that announcement made by Dan Quinn. So it'll be our first chance to see him. Aaron Rodgers, he was out scrimmaging over the weekend and looked good. Robert Saleh, though, has never met one of his own quarterbacks that he didn't adore. And so I would say take everything Saleh says with a grain of salt. Wasn't that long ago he was raving about Zach Wilson. I'm trying to think who else he's raved about in the past. He tends to rave. Speaking of quarterbacks, though, in New York, Eli Manning threw out the first pitch at the Yankees game over the weekend and got interviewed on their affiliate, WFAN, which is also our New York affiliate. And just can't wait for the Mannings to be back on Monday night.
I was excited. I got a little nervous kind of when I got out here, and I asked if I could go throw a few. So I went into the little bullpen in the dugout. They were all coming a little high when I was warming up, but I didn't want to overcorrect. I could not go low. And so I know now with the new, you know, everybody trying to hit the home runs, the high heat is the new pitch no one could hit. So I was trying to go high heat, and it might have gone a little high on me.
And you zipped it in nicely.
Yeah, so it didn't one hop it. That was the ultimate goal.
You know that when President Bush threw out the first pitch to Derek Jeter said to him as he came out, "Don't bounce it.
Don't bounce
you.
It." That's all I know. I've seen that clip many times, and I knew. I saw my brother Peyton throw out the first pitch at the All Star game 2 years ago or last year, and did one hop it. So I could not do that. Learn from my brother's mistakes.
And you threw it from right on top of the rubber.
Yes, you did. No cheating. No cheating.
Got to get on the rubber. No doubt.
Eli Manning's got such a great sense of humor. And speaking of Hall of Fame, he is definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. Don't at me. I've had this conversation so many times. You may not like it, but he is headed for the Hall of Fame, just like his brother. So yeah, that's with, I think, Justin Shackle, it sounds like, and Susan Waldman on Yankees Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Brian's in Virginia. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hello, Amy. How you doing today?
Thanks for taking my call. You're welcome.
And just wanted to let you know, I'm a lifelong Dodger fan. And again, I'm in Richmond, Virginia. But I'm just shaking my head at the Shohei Ohtani situation. Amy, there is no way I would think about trotting him out there on that mound next year, given he's coming off that serious elbow injury. Okay, there are enough pitchers on this earth, especially the Dodgers. We are known for having great pitchers coming out of our farm system. I would not want to risk shortening his career or risking further injury to an elbow because he's up there and there doing double duty as a pitcher. I know they, I mean, really, seriously, it's something to think about. Mm-hmm. You see how great he is, okay? Babe Ruth, I know he did it too, but he did not pitch for those Yankees. No. They didn't do that. he was both ways for the Red Sox, but when he got to the Yankees, Babe Ruth didn't pitch. So I'm
okay.
Just
saying, so here's my thing. Let me just
be careful with this, Amy.
Okay, hold on. I'm just going to cut in really quickly and maybe nip that in the bud. While people may agree with you, the Dodgers may even agree with you when it comes to his longevity and his durability. The problem is if they signed him. Well, first of all, they signed him to a $700 million contract. But if they signed him to a contract and he agreed to play for them because they will allow him to both pitch and hit, meaning they're not going to limit him. If that's what he wants to do, and they gave him a contract with the express purpose of allowing him to do both, and they told him he could do both, they can't very well go back on that now. So I understand what you're saying, and I honestly think he may be more productive doing one or the other in that respective skill. But if what they signed him to and what they agreed to is that he can do both, there's no changing it now.
They would really feel some kind of way if he gets out there next year and re-injures that elbow, because now, if you do that, now you can't hit either. You see what I'm saying, Amy? And I'm a local teaching tennis pro here in Richmond, Virginia.
Nice.
And I tennis elbow. I'm trying to get you guys. Well, not you, but you listeners. Y'all hear about these injuries?
Yeah,
but y'all don't understand what an elbow injury is.
Yeah, you got about 10 seconds. 10 seconds, Brian.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me take care now. Thank you.
Amazing callers tonight. Probably the best callers.
Nick said Nick potted him down, meaning his voice wasn't up over the air, and was listening to him in queue in the control room, and he just talked the entire time. Yes, I understand. I got you, man. We're with you. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.